John chapter 1, we're going to begin reading with verse 41, read to the end of the chapter. John chapter 1, verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. He brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom no guile is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and hear your word read. We can fellowship over your precious word. Please that we have ears to hear today, that we listen so carefully to your Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, as he teaches us your truth. I thank you for the special. I thank you for the beautiful hymns that were sung this morning. I thank you for the Sunday school classes. I thank you especially for your precious word. Now please, dear Lord, today, as we come together, I just ask that everyone here knows you as their Savior. But Father, if they don't, I just ask that you will touch their hearts this morning. Show them the way of salvation. Show them who they are and how to get saved and how to be saved and how to come by faith and trust in you. And so please, dear Lord, that your Spirit will have his perfect will today. And then the road of joy and of excitement begins. The opportunity to have your wisdom and your knowledge and begin to know your word and walk with you. What a wonderful day that is, the first day that begins. But that day lasts all through this life until we're face to face with you. So please, speak to our hearts and apply your word to the need today, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Andrew came to his brother and he said, We have found the Messiah. What wonderful words. What did Andrew do next? He did exactly what we should do. When we tell somebody, Jesus, I have found Jesus, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. That's a good brother. That's a great brother. That's what each one of us should do. If we know Jesus, we need to go out into these fields and get to work with the harvest. There are many to bring to the Lord Jesus. And as Andrew went immediately to his brother, and then he brought him to Jesus. Andrew, if he would have been capable, could have purchased Peter a new house, new car, He could have given him $1 million. He could have given him the world, and the gift wouldn't have been as great as what he has given to his brother Peter, and that's Jesus. We need to understand that. We need to understand what's important in this world, and that's bringing folks that we know, family members, friends, folks that we just meet on the street. I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? There is nothing greater, nothing that you can give. There's nothing greater that you can give to your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, than to know Jesus. You talk about an inheritance. That is an inheritance. That's an inheritance of great value, the greatest value. He was a good brother. We see here in this 42nd verse, he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas." Cephas being interpreted as stone, the scripture tells us. In the Gospel of John, in the 2nd chapter, it says that we learn that Jesus knew all men and needed not that any should testify of him. How did Jesus, the first time he met Peter, know what Peter was going to be? Because Jesus knows every man, every woman, every child. He knows who we are. He knows what we are. Jesus has perfect knowledge of all men. He knows who we are, what we're made of, and he knows who we're going to be. How many times do you hear folks through the years, "That's just who I am"? Well, if you got saved, you're a new creature. You're no longer who you used to be. You're born again. The Lord Jesus could see right into Peter's life and know that you're going to be a stone. You see, it was contrary to Peter because Simon, the word Simon, means unstable and impetuous. How many times have we heard people preach or teach impetuous Peter? Peter was always doing something he wasn't supposed to do. He would just move so quickly. He would speak without thinking. You know anybody like that? They just, now stop looking at each other now. I saw that. Impetuous Peter, meaning unstable. But you see, the Lord Jesus didn't look at who Peter was. He looked at who Peter was going to be, because now he's a child of God. He's going to be a stone. Peter's going to be a solid rock. Peter preached some of the greatest messages that were preached. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that. So Peter goes from unstable to stable. He accomplishes that only because of the work of grace that changes his heart. He is a new creature in Christ. 1 Peter, he tells us, "Living stones that are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Peter is becoming one of those living stones because of the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the grace of God. And we need to see that the day we come to know the Lord Jesus, we need to recognize that Jesus knows us. It's believed that the reason that the Lord Jesus here gave Simon a new name, he is showing that he is the great I Am of the Old Covenant, because you see, the same one, Jesus, changed Abram's name to Abraham, Sarai's name to Sarah, and Jacob's name to Israel. And so now, in the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus changing Simon's name, unstable, impetuous, to the stone, the rock. And we know this as being Peter. we study these verses and we notice that the first calls that are made to men to preach the word are very humble men, unlearned men. He has chosen them to be the first, to be soul winners, to be preachers, to be the apostles, the first to declare the gospel message with the power of salvation. The educated of that day missed the Lord Jesus. The educated of that day knew this can't be the Messiah. They were looking for the king. This wasn't what they were looking for. And since it didn't fit their own way and their own style, they just rejected the thought. It's the same today. Today, the world and the churches, many preachers, they try to analyze and interpret the Word of God, and they change it to however it fits their life of the day. The Word of God is simple. It is clear. And we need to take the Word of God and proclaim it as such. We want to win folks to Christ. That should be our goal. We don't do it by big words, by trying to show our great knowledge. Nobody knows, needs to know how smart we think we are. And in truth, when you try to do that, that turns people away from the Lord Jesus. We need to stay humble. We need to preach the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and teach His word that all can understand. All can understand. We have Cephas or Peter, the stone. We have the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Verse 43. As we talked about the way that John records this, first day, second day, third day, fourth day. We're on the fourth day now. The first day, Christ was proclaimed. You'll find that in the first this first chapter, verse 15 through 28. Second day, he was pointed out and said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, 29 to 34. The third day, he was followed by his disciples, 40, 35 through 42. And now we find ourselves at the fourth day, and he findeth Philip. And his words were very simple. And please, don't make the Word of God, nor the gospel, nor salvation complicated. Keep it simple. What'd Jesus say? Follow me. Can it get any simpler than that? Can it get any easier than that? Follow me. You know, every individual that's ever been saved, every one of us, as we are different, so was our experience with salvation. Some cry, some laugh. Some were saved in church, before church, after church. Some were saved at home. Some were saved at a friend's house. Some were saved with somebody. They told them about Jesus. I was saved because somebody brought me the gospel that wasn't even saved. And I kept reading the Word of God and reading the Word of God. And I was saved in the strangest place, halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house, all by myself. So salvation can come in many different ways to the individual. There is only one way of salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The effect of the individual can be much different, whether it be the place, who had the opportunity to lead you to the Lord. But salvation is the only way through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same with Andrew. with his friend that was with him, with Peter, with Philip, and soon to be with Nathaniel. Each one of them a little different way. Each one of them was affected a little differently. But every one of them had to do the same thing, and that's believe in Jesus. There's no difference. It's that simple. It's a gift of salvation given to you when you believe. And when you believe, all your sins are forgiven. You just need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him. Again, it's not where or how you react that's important. It's that you came by faith to Jesus for salvation. That's what's important. Jesus said, "Follow me." And praise God, he did. Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's our responsibility. So we look down in verse 44, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, city of Andrew and Peter," makes that connection. And then verse 45, "Philip findeth Nathanael, and said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Philip, like Andrew, went soul winning. He went soul winning. He found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." Philip knew the Old Testament, didn't he? For being someone that wasn't a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a member of the Sanhedrin, he wasn't up with the church class of the day, but yet this man knew the Word of God. Because look at the words that he spoke there. "We have found him whom Moses and the law and the prophets." Haven't we had reference to that in the past? Wasn't it to do with the rich man that woke up in the place of torment? And wasn't it told to him, "You had Moses, you had the prophets. If you think they're going to trust in someone that's raised from the dead, you're mistaken." Because you see, it's not some miracle that brings people to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit. So please, please listen to the Holy Spirit this morning and become a child of God. Trust in Jesus if you have not. If you have, then please tell others. Tell others. We have had these one after another go telling people about Jesus. I wish that leaders of that time would have had such an understanding. I wish the leaders of today would have the understanding of Moses and the prophets. Because if they would, they would not be preaching what they're preaching. Look now at how Philip introduces Jesus to Nathanael. He said, "Son of Joseph." Son of Joseph. That was a very common statement of the day, because anyone that had any connection with Jesus did not understand the virgin birth. They understood something natural. He's a son of Joseph. Another statement that was made here was that he was of Nazareth. And so, by Philip's introduction here, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Well, Nathanael that he was talking to had a question right back to him. And that question was, how can anything good come out of Nazareth? How can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, a lot of folks, when Philip introduced Jesus to Nathanael, to say he was the son of Joseph wasn't correct. To bring up that he was from Nazareth brought in another question. And that question had nothing to do with salvation. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? We need to see that when we're talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we speak it clear, we speak it simply. We don't say things that are confusing. When I first was saved and I was sharing the gospel with someone, my goal was to answer every question that they had, because if I could do that, I knew that they would get saved. Nobody got saved. I didn't realize that the questions they were asking were questions that need to be dealt with after salvation, not before. They need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit into their heart, then begin to teach them and work with them and explain to them the Word of God, not before. But no one told me that. No one told me that. And one man that I had talked to repeatedly, every time I would leave and I didn't have the answer, and so I'd say, okay, we'll be back. And we would. And a week later, I would stop back at the house and we would answer the question again. Another question, another question, another question. And then all of a sudden it was over. We didn't make cross paths anymore. So I answered many questions and left that man going to hell in the process. Several years later, our paths crossed. And the first thing I did to that man was apologize to him. And I said, I need to tell you one thing, and that is Jesus saves. And you need to come by faith to him. And I apologize for all of the discussion. There was no arguments. It was good discussion. But he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. And he, to my total surprise, somebody else had led him to the Lord a few years earlier. And we had wonderful fellowship. Wonderful fellowship. I was really burdened about him because of what I had done. I had not told him about Jesus. These men, they only knew what had happened in their hearts. And so that's what they said. Come and see. And this invitation here, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Where was he to go with this? The town of Nazareth is small, it's little, offers very little. Surely nothing good can come from that. What did Philip say? Philip was a much smarter man than I. Philip said, come and see. That's all you need to do. When somebody asks you a question, you know they're not saved. You need to come and see Jesus first. Stay with those simple words. Come and see. What wonderful, wonderful words. Jesus used the same words with Andrew and his friend when they inquired of, where do you live? Come and see. Now, had he heard those words? Had Philip heard those words before? Or did he just answer something so simple? Because you see, the gospel is simple. The Word of God is simple. And we need to talk to people in that same manner. Let the Holy Spirit work. Come and see. What happened next? They were proceeding down the road, and they come, and if you'll notice in verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. And before Nathanael could even make one statement to Jesus, look at what Jesus said to him. Look at what he said to him. Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. That's a quote from Psalm 32, 2. Jesus didn't say you need to trust in me. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Jump down to 48 and see what Nathanael had to say. Have we ever met? Have we ever met? I don't remember ever meeting you. Because you see, Nathanael had a problem. And that problem was that Jesus knew who Nathanael was. He knew what he was all about. He knew his character. He knew what he was. He knew that he was a man that was kind and not hypocritical. Jesus knew that. As he knew Peter could say, I know that you're unstable, and if someone said that you're going to be a stone, they would have laughed and said, not Peter, anybody but Peter. But you see, Jesus knew what was going to happen in his heart. Jesus knew the heart and the life of Nathanael. And Nathanael goes right back, as you always do, to something natural. He goes back to saying, "What? How can you know me? We've never met. We've never met." And look at Jesus' answer back to him. Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under a fig tree, I saw thee. Whatever this place is, whatever it is, it's a common place, I believe, where Nathanael went. Is it where he went to rest? Is it where he went to pray? Is it where he went to worship, to study the Word of God? What did he do? But he did something under this fig tree. You know, the Lord Jesus went to the garden. He had a special place where he loved to pray. And I believe that Nathanael had the same, and probably this was underneath this specific fig tree. Well, now, how can he know that? He knows who I am and what I'm made of. And now he tells me where I've been. There was nobody around. No one could have told him that. Now, Nathanael could have done, as many people that you'll talk to about the Lord Jesus, they will argue. So you can't know that, can't understand that. But we need to be thankful that Nathanael didn't do that. Nathanael, with hearing those words, knew that this was the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. The King of Israel. How'd this all start? How'd this all begin? It started back where Philip came to know the Lord Jesus. He was invited to come and follow me. Findeth Philip and said, follow. What would have happened if Philip had not followed? Nathanael would never have been saved. We've just finished, not so long ago, a study in the Book of Revelation. And why did we discuss that the judgment, the final judgment of the lost, would be at the very end of time as we know it? It is after the church age. It's after the 7-year tribulation. It's after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. It's after all that. Why is it the end of time? Because for the lost, if you choose not to trust in Jesus, and you, of course, don't bring your family or you influence your family away from Christ, and all those generations will be lost and go to hell, and you will be accountable for that. So you see, it has to be at the end. So what would have happened here if Philip had not said and followed the Lord Jesus? He would have been held responsible that Nathanael would not have been saved. And you look at the great work that these men are starting by the simple words, follow me, or come and see. It's that simple. Follow me, come and see. We don't have to have all the answers when you visit with somebody about Jesus. You know what's in your heart. You know the Lord Jesus. So simply, so kind, says, please, will you follow Jesus? They says, I don't know. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's right. Will you come and see? Will you come and see? We've got a great responsibility, bringing as many to the Lord Jesus as we can. We can't save a single person, but it's our job to introduce all that we come in contact with. Tell them, come and see. Come and see. This was enough that Philip here, Nathanael here could see. And Nathanael says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael knew, again, the Word of God. The Son of God, thou art King of Israel, the only begotten of the Father. He's the prophet, he's the King of Kings. And Nathanael could see that. And then Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Son of Man. You can go back to Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, and you're going to find something called Jacob's Ladder back there. Jacob's Ladder. It was a dream that Jacob had back at Bethel. This dream was a ladder, and the ladder was set up between earth and it reached to heaven. This is all about the Lord Jesus going from being the Son of God to being the Son of Man. And that's the connection with Jacob's Ladder. And our Lord tells this in verse 51. God takes flesh, and the Son of God becomes the Son of Man, in order that the ladder, this connection with heaven and earth, might open the way for salvation. The ladder. Jesus is that ladder. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I hope you've come by faith to Him. And I hope you recognize how important it is to tell others about Jesus. And don't feel in any way that you're incompetent. There's just no way I don't have the answers. The answer is, do you know Jesus? Is the question. And if they say no, come and see. Now, if they don't come, pray for them. Because you can't force them in any way to come. Don't want to. Has to be their free will to come. And the closer we come to the end times, the more difficult it is for someone to be saved. They always said, you know, it's more difficult for an older person to be saved than a younger person. This old world's getting older. I believe the people of the world are becoming harder, more set in their ways, more willing to reject the Lord Jesus. Our place and our purpose is to tell people Jesus saves. Come and see. It worked 2,000 years ago. It'll work today. So easy. So simple. I love this part of the scripture where the ministry, the church begins. Because it reminds us how simple the Word of God is. Keep it that way. When you talk to somebody, see that you don't leave them confused. You leave them asking Jesus into their heart, getting saved. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. As we've come to an end of the first chapter, as we love teaching your word, we go verse by verse and fellowship over those verses and put into our mind and into our heart, apply them to our lives. Please, dear Lord, touch every heart today. Take your word, your spirit, and apply it however is necessary for salvation, for growth, for strength. Make this a lighthouse that shines ever so bright, and it comes only by your precious word and your power and your presence. Let's be busy as every radio program is closed with that simple question, what are you going to do about Jesus? That would be a question you can ask anybody. If they say, what do you mean? And give them the gospel. Then ask them to come and see. Father, please open our mouths, our hearts, and our lives to serve you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.